I set out to get the Independence Day readings, and because I thought that we're in this situation in our country that the topic of nationalism is so strong, we could get some guidance from the gospel. And I told Mitchell, let's have the 4th of July readings, and it turns out the 4th of July readings are love your enemy. According to John, Jesus said, perfect love casts out fear. Again and again in the Gospels, fear not. When Mary was greeted by the angel, be not afraid. At the end, after the resurrection, fear not to the first witnesses. Now, certainly, we can take steps to be safe, reasonable precautions, but God calls us to fear not. And sometimes we have differences, and I learned recently that, you know, some people are refusing to greet other people because they disagree so much in the community, and they refuse to exchange the peace and refuse to serve on committees with one another. But of course, that is not what Jesus was talking about. I mean, he did say, if you greet only your brothers and sisters, then what good is that? But if we're not even greeting our brothers and sisters, they're not enemies. We're all children of one Father. We're children of one Father in the church, and we should have a higher standard. Of course, that's not what he was talking about. We may have family differences, and like we talked about last week, we may or may not live out the fruit of the Spirit, which is part of love, but we're not enemies. The epistles say, speak the truth in love to one another. Fear not, speak the truth in love. And if that's challenging for you on a practical level, just imagine Jesus standing between you. Fear not, and practice speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth through Christ. Well, a few years ago we got a prayer chain request. That's on the email. We get requests from time to time about situations. And what happened was that Dori Karskadon, who is a former member, she moved with her partner, had been shot at Fort Hood. I don't know if you remember that shooting back in 2009. Dori was shot in Fort Hood at Texas in that shooting. And this is not private. It was in the news at the time. An American soldier who was Muslim and a psychiatrist and had mental health issues came and shot 45 people at Fort Hood, including our own Dori. And that was back during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so Julie immediately picked up and flew to Texas, and the military was so gracious with them as they were. Julie was in and out of the hospital supporting Dori. The military was just super supporting them. They were newlyweds, and they received a lot of care and support. So anyway, we prayed for them from a distance for Dori's healing, and when she was finally discharged, she came back to Madison, and she did her healing at St. Luke's. So some of us will remember, she came in first with, you know, equipment, and then she sort of graduated to a cane because her hip had been shattered. She sort of graduated to a cane, carrying a cane as she was doing her healing. And then one day we're sitting in evening prayer in the chapel, and Dori walks in with her cane and sits down to pray. And she said to the folks there, she was trying to find a way to forgive the guy who perpetrated the mass shooting. She was trying to find a way to forgive the guy that almost killed her. Because, she said, Jesus said, love your enemies. Oh, we had a lot of talks in the days after that, a lot of talks in the weeks to come. Now, this week, another person who's economically vulnerable was seeking counsel with me because someone had defrauded her, and she said to me, but Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Does that mean I should just let the money go? Is that loving your enemy? And he did. Jesus certainly said, turn the other cheek. And it was right before the reading from today, love your enemy. And Jesus said, walk the second mile and give your coat too. But in order to understand all of that, we have to get some cultural background, because that was the Middle East. It wasn't America. And if you've ever been to the Middle East, or maybe India, or if you've had a meal with Middle Eastern people or Indian people who are deeply in their own culture, you might know in a lot of those countries, folks eat with their hand. They don't, you know, they wash up beforehand, but they eat with their hand, and they don't use chopsticks or a fork. And so there's a tradition in those cultures that one hand is for eating and the other hand is for toileting. And so the left hand in those cultures is considered unclean. The same thing was true in the ancient Near East. And so when Jesus mentioned, if they hit you on the right cheek, the only way for someone to strike you on the right cheek with the right hand, which is the clean one to be used, is to backhand you. And if they've backhanded you, he's saying if someone slaps you like they would a servant or a woman or a child, then straighten your back and turn the other cheek, because it shames them. Their violence is exposed. And if you are so poor that the only possession you have is the clothes that you're wearing, and they sue you for your dress, then take off your coat and give it to them too. And it's the same principle. It shames them. Your nakedness exposes their greed. He's using hyperbole, certainly, but he's also making a point. If the soldier makes you carry his gear, which was about 70 pounds, you know, they had limits on it because the soldiers were abusing that privilege of conscripting civilians, so a mile was legal. Walk a second mile, Jesus said. It was because that practice of conscription, you remember when Simon of Cyrene was told to carry Jesus' cross in the crucifixion? That was also from conscription. And if the soldier does that to you, clearly it's partly for the purpose of avoiding their own labor, but also it's for the purpose of humiliating the colonized people, the powerless ones. So when Jesus says, walk 2 miles, he's saying, stand up, take your dignity back, make a choice. Make your own choice about the situation nonviolently. All of these examples are about resisting evil, and they all come right before the summary, love your enemy. Resist evil, but do it in a way that preserves your dignity and shines light on your enemy. This is loving your enemy. Now, we can think of examples. Dr. King, Gandhi, we can think of lots of examples. All the books seem to agree that love your enemies, that idea of Jesus, it wasn't in the Old Testament. He didn't get that idea from Judaism. It's his own unique contribution. Love your enemy. The law of Moses that he knew and that the community knew set limits on vengeance. An eye for an eye. You can't make them blind if they only took one of your eyes. A tooth for a tooth. Not all the teeth, just one tooth. And he could have gone on and on when he was quoting the limits of vengeance, because Exodus says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, wound for wound. So in other words, limit vengeance. Don't escalate. Keep the situation calm. And Leviticus says, do not hate your neighbor. Do not hate your family. Do not hate the people of God. But in the Old Testament, your enemy, fair game, right? Have you read some of the Psalms? Oh my goodness. It's as though the psalmist is praying, God, please join my team and smash my enemy and their children. And Jesus turns all of that on its head, which is why we don't read those Psalms in church. Jesus turns all of that on its head. He's teaching us not only don't take vengeance, not only don't hate God's people, but don't even hate your enemies. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, the odd thing is, the interesting thing is, Jesus certainly confronted evil wherever he saw it. He was no coward. Directly or indirectly, but consistently. So certainly he's not talking about having nice feelings toward enemies. That's not what he did. Accountability is perfectly legitimate. Some folks call it tough love. So the woman I mentioned who'd been defrauded, her idea about the situation was to invite some friends who were drag queens and go around the house of the person who owed her money to go protest. I was so surprised when she told me that. It's certainly not something that would ever occur to me. But when I pondered it, it did seem to be a little bit like what Jesus was talking about. Expose your enemy, shame them. Not taking vengeance, but exposing. Anyway, I want to go back to Dory and the mass shooting at Fort Hood. Because I was so impressed with her. She was so dogged in her work to forgive the person who almost killed her. It took her 2 years for her body to heal. Her hip, like I said, had been totally shattered, and it took a while for her heart also. She had to get past the pain. She had to stop herself from hating him. She had to let go of the desire for vengeance. And eventually, she forgave him. And then, when it came time for his trial, premeditated murder of 13 people and attempted murder of 32 people, including her, she faced into her PTSD. When it came time for the trial, Dory had the courage to tell exactly what happened to her as a witness, and also to tell the story without bitterness. She said she forgave him. And she spoke clearly, giving testimony. Because sometimes accountability is love. Amen.